turn in your Bibles as I continue to preach in your hearing, finding rest and peace in a restless world. This is part two, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign Overall, day 987, since January the 20th, 2017, day 1,283, since January the 1st, 2016, Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30, in the Word of God, the Holy Bible. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You want to get to know Jesus, how he really is? He's telling you right now. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Get with me, connect with me, trust me as your Savior. Get to know me like that, for I am meek, and you're going to find that I am meek and lowly in heart. I'm not interested in going to the president's palace. I'm not interested in going to the White House. I'm not interested in being around the prudent, or those who think they are prudent and who think they are wise, and the big shots, and the shot callers, and the bosses. I like being with people like me, lowly in heart, who don't think that much of themselves. And I fear today, ladies and gentlemen, I truly fear that one of the problems in America today is that meek and lowly people are attracted to Jesus. Humble people, people who are not well known, people who are not considered prudent, not considered wise, not considered smart, not considered a shot caller. When you go to church, it's mostly the common man. Regular folks. But I fear that so many of us in the church who have trusted in the Lord, the meek and lowly one, we have a inferiority complex so bad that any time a president or a government leader comes on the scene, there's certain of us, we just will do anything to be connected to that worldly power, that secular power. We'll do anything. Compromise, lie, cover up. betray the Lord and His word. And I believe this has happened down through the years. And I believe it's happening right now. And it's not only with presidents. Any time there's somebody with some kind of charisma or power, we have Christians who normally have a lowly mentality, a meek spirit. They feel this inferiority complex so bad. They want to be somebody so bad. They want to be important so much that they'll bend over backwards and touch their heels to be with people like that, who they know are going to end up betraying their cause. And don't tell me it doesn't happen. It happened in the last administration under President Obama, and is happening now under President Trump. We don't even know some of the people now. They look so strange to us because of their behavior and their compromise and their unwillingness to be a Nathan to the king and say, "Thou art the man." But be that as it may, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Not only will you know the real me, but you will find rest unto your soul. Do you have rest in your soul tonight? If you don't, you probably do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you're out of the will of God, caught up in sin, entangled with the affairs of this life, where you have the fellowship is broken between you and your Lord and your Savior. "For my yoke is easy," he said, "and my burden is light." Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here tonight. And Lord, what you thanked God for was shocking and very intriguing and deeper than what we know. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to get into that a little bit tonight. And Holy Father God in heaven, sitting on your throne, ruling the world with your Holy Son Jesus Christ at your right hand, as Dr. Tony Evans pointed out in his talk, reflections on his wife, that if you're walking with the Lord, you can see things that others don't see. And it's so true. It's so true. And so, Lord, I praise you and I thank you for not only being there, but here, through the power of your Holy Ghost, the power of your Holy Word. And you hear and you see everything that we say, think, and do. Lord, help us to not think otherwise. Help us to not think otherwise. That you are well aware of everything in our lives. And when two or three are gathered together, you're in the midst. And so, Holy Father God, we individually and we collectively confess our sins, our faults, and our failures unto you as Christian people. And for Jesus Christ's sake, we come before your throne of grace. Yes, Lord, you know we have already done this privately, but Lord, it's a good thing to do it publicly for those who gather on may not have done it. They need to confess their sins, and we thank you from your holy word as Christians that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And yet, at the same time, Lord, you don't want us to repeat our sins. You want us to repent of our sins. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit and your grace and your strength to do just that, to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to walk with you. Revive us again in a New Testament way. Help us to get back to you, Lord Jesus, our first love, because in truth you first loved us. And Lord God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have come under heavy bombardment from Satan, dropping all kinds of bombs on us and every weapon that he has in his arsenal, because of the fact that we, by your grace, are getting the word of God out all around the world in multiple ways each day. And we thank you for that privilege and that joy and that blessing. The devil is mad, but I'm glad. And we thank you for the souls that are being saved, the souls that have been saved, the Christians that are being revived and encouraged. And Lord, we do have many who need encouragement, as you know. And so, Lord, we pray tonight once again for the power of your Holy Ghost, the power of your Holy Gospel, your Holy Word. And Lord, help me to make a beeline to the gospel. And I pray that lost souls would be saved, Christians would be revived. And I thank you, Lord, that every message that I have ever preached, it has contained the gospel in it. And I've given people, by your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit and your strength, I have given them an opportunity to come to know you as Savior, as you did for me some 40 years ago. And Lord God in heaven, we pray that you would cast out the devil. And Lord, I know that there are some saints of the prosperity persuasion who don't want me to pray like this, but there's a devil loose somewhere. I am fighting something that I cannot see, and I can only go to you, because you can see everybody and all things. And so, Lord, I pray, regardless of how my prosperity brethren feel about it and my sister feel about it, Lord, please cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic spirit of Judas out of the hearts and minds and lives of the people, Lord, who surround me here, who may have that problem, or who at least allow themselves to be used by the devil and play this Judas. And Lord, I do pray that you would cast out that demonic spirit of Judas and betrayal that is constantly around every work that stands for you. It is a frustrating spirit, and we pray that you will bind that spirit and protect your work from it. You're very familiar with it. It's rooted in Satan himself, for he betrayed you. He was the first Judas. And so, Lord, I pray that you give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the Judas spirit, and the Sanballat spirit. Block all of that so that your holy word and your holy gospel can go through. And, Lord, we pray for the families that are suffering right now with sickness and illness and death. It is increasing, it appears. So, Lord, prepare us for good days and bad days. Prepare us for celebrations and tragedies. Prepare us, Lord, for weddings and funerals. Prepare us, Lord, for life and death. Glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is in his name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. ladies and gentlemen, Dr. John MacArthur said, in the spiritual sense, to enter God's rest means to be at peace with God. And that's what we're talking about in our title, How to Find Rest and Peace in a Restless World. There's no way that you can have that rest and peace if you, in this world, if you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. So He invites you directly and clearly to come to Him. Some of you sitting here tonight, some of you sitting out in our auditorium of the sky, you don't have any rest in your soul and in your spirit. You're worried, you're fretting, you're sad, you're depressed, you're defeated. You know why? Because either you don't know Jesus Christ or you're not in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But Dr. MacArthur goes on. He says, in the spiritual sense, to enter God's rest means to be at peace with God. To possess not only peace with God, but the peace of God, which passes all understanding. To have your heart totally calm. We're not talking about the app tonight. There's an app out there that's supposed to make you calm. Of course, it is a joke. There's no app that can make you calm. Stop believing lies. Okay? I don't care what it's called. To have your heart totally calm in the midst of a storm. The Calm app is not going to help you. He goes on to say, to have no more frustration and no more anxiety over life and your destiny. No need to worry. Sin is forgiven. No guilt is there. It's all about rest in Jesus. Do you have that rest tonight? If you have that rest already tonight, then you need to do what you do to invite somebody else to hear this message, and you need to go ahead on and watch the football game. But if you don't have this rest, this peace that passes all understanding, then you need to stick around. One man said one time, when I was a boy at home, I used to drive the oxen, and the yoke was never made to balance as it should. Father's yokes were always made heavier on one side than the other. Then, you see, we would put a weak bullock in alongside a strong bullock. The light end would come on the weak ox, the heavier end on the stronger one. That's why the yoke is easy and the burden is light, because the Lord's yoke is made after the same pattern, and the heavy end is upon His shoulder. And that is so true. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Just yoke up with me. By way of introduction, continued introduction, by way of more background knowledge, which is extremely important to me, Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, why did the religious leaders rebel against John and Jesus in the previous passage? I've already dealt with that passage. Why? Because they, the leaders, were intellectually and spiritually proud and arrogant. And by the way, that's what's wrong with America today. It is the so-called elite who have educated themselves in their minds past God, making themselves truly ignorant. And that's why they sit around a table and come up with stupid ideas that make the country worse. Because they, the leaders, were intellectually and spiritually haughty, proud, and arrogant, and would not become little babes in humility and honesty with integrity. There is a vast difference between the spoiled children of the parable before and the submissive children of this statement of praise. And in this particular passage, the Father reveals himself to the Son, and the Son reveals himself and the Father to those who are willing to come to Jesus in faith. This is truly a come to Jesus moment. He says, come. When Jesus says come, you need to come in a hurry, with the quickness. When he is inviting you to yoke up with him, and he's going to carry the burden, the heavy load. And sometimes we get so weak, Jesus will be dragging us. These verses indicate both the sovereignty of the Father and the responsibility of the sinner. Yes, we have a responsibility. Three commands summarize this invitation. Number one, come. The Pharisees all said, do, not come, do. You got to work your way into heaven. And that's what the religious Pharisees are saying today. And that's how they hold you captive, always trying to make you do something, making you feel guilty that you're not doing enough. But doing won't get it. It won't get you saved, and it won't get you into heaven. And they tried to make the people follow Moses and his law and the traditions. But true salvation is found only in a person. His name is Jesus Christ. Come. Just come to Jesus. I heard a popular singer singing this morning. Mary had a little lamb. Little lamb, you know, being a conservative Bible-believing preacher, I say, whoa, now this might not be theologically correct. But he kept on saying, Mary had a little lamb. And then he broke it down and said, and his name is Jesus. And if you believe in him, he'll make you whiter than snow on the inside. And then one lady broke out and said, "You asked a question. How can a brown cow eating green grass make white milk?" And she ran back and said, "I don't know. But I can tell you how a black person like me can be washed in red blood and come out whiter than snow." Amen, somebody. His name is Jesus. Come. Just come. Come to Jesus. I had a white evangelist friend helping me with a crusade one time. He said, "I'm going to help you. I'm going to do some flyers for you." I said, "All right." He said, "I'm going to pay for it." I said, "All right. So let me say what I want it to say." I said, "Okay." He found a verse in the Bible and said, "Come and dine." So I don't know how this is going to work, but it is free. "Come and dine," he said. He kind of a heavyset preacher. He was excited. See, he said, "When they see this sign, you know what they're going to do? They're going to come and dine, son." Just come. To come to him means to trust in him, to believe on him, to believe on Jesus. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And all you have to do is come. He said, "My yoke is easy." There's that word easy. Not very common in the Bible, but it's very common in conversation in theological circles when they argue very foolishly and say that salvation is not easy. And it is. It was not easy for God. It was not easy for Jesus Christ. But salvation, my dear friend, is so easy. Jesus just said, "Come. Just come to me. You make a few steps towards me and you'll be saved. Just look at me and I'll save you if you're looking with faith. Just come to me. Just believe on me." How easy can it be? It can't get any easier than that. Just believe in your heart on me. Just believe in your heart the gospel that I died for your sins. I'm the little lamb that grew into an older lamb and sacrificial lamb who died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day. I am the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, all of it, every bit of it, including yours. Just come. Just come. That's it. That's it. It's easy. And then when you come, yoke up with me. And you're going to find that my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Because you don't have to do much. Just trust in me. Just roll with me and you'll be fine. For I have paid it all. This invitation is open to those, my beloved, who are exhausted. You have gone to church all your life, lost and on your way to hell, kind of like me. I went to church all my life. Let me tell you something. When I tell you that God saved me, I'm telling you the truth. He saved me out of religion and out of the club all at the same time. I was a member of a Baptist church and a Pentecostal Holiness Church in the same city. And then we were half members of a church across town. Had a long name. The House of God in the Pillar and Ground of the Truth. I said, "Wow." I said, "You are." We really were members of three churches. Not counting the home church way down in Florida. Four. And then St. Paul's Church, Disciples of Christ in Brooklyn. I was really a member of five churches. Raised up in the church. I can remember when I was a little boy, couldn't be no, in my mind's eye, I see the stained glass windows at St. Paul's in Brooklyn, New York, right now, sitting on the pew, trying to make some noise, and all of a sudden feeling a pinch on my behind parts. And listen, nobody can pinch you like your mother, a black mother. And you will quit whatever you're doing. Whatever you're doing, you're going to quit and you're going to sit up straight like you're a prisoner. I say, well, yes, sir. Amen. Folks start saying amen, you start saying amen. And then if you were good for about a good 4 or 5 minutes, a good mother and a good grandmother, they always had spearmint or juicy fruit gum to give you. And they know they shouldn't have given you that in church, but they had that because they knew that would stop it. You'd be just chewing and chewing and chewing. Yes. They wave their hand, you wave yours. Far back as I can remember, I was in the church, but lost and on my way to hell. For some reason, I started, I guess, around 7 or 8 or 9, out of the blue, just started praying to a God that I didn't know. And here's what I prayed. Lord, show me the light. Show me the light. You wonder why I preach every day? I preach the gospel every day with the Gospel Light Ministries. Because I prayed from a little boy, show me the light, show me the light. Because I somehow knew that my parents didn't really have the light. They had something, but they didn't have the light. I couldn't understand it. For about 9, 10 years, I prayed that off and on, Lord, show me the light. And then December the 19th, 1979, a man with a big old Bible, almost big as he was, came into my dorm room while I was in the Air Force and showed me the light. He showed me in Romans verses I had never heard of before, I had never seen before. If I had heard them in the past, I was surely blinded to it. All I saw was religion. You get baptized, you save, you join the church. The doors of the church are open. It's amazing how the deacons would draw that out. The doors, 10,000 O's, the doors of the church are open. And then they'll put out a chair, one chair. I guess they're only expecting one person to get saved. You come now and sit in that chair. You join the church, and the whole church is a horrifying experience. The whole church will walk around and give you the right hand of fellowship and a few hugs, and you were a member in God's church. You were saved. You were sanctified. You were ready to go. That's the Baptist church. And then the Pentecostal Holiness Church, they put you on the mourner's bench. Some of you don't know anything about that. You got to go on the mourner's bench. You're so bad, you got to go on the mourner's bench. The mourner's bench. And kneel down. And you call on Jesus 10 million times. And the old ladies behind you will be spitting in your ear. Call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. And then they start speaking in tongues and everything. And they be trying to force you to get saved. And everything. And I remember very clearly, I was a teenager. I knew what they wanted me to do. They wanted me to jump up and speak in some unknown tongue. I was not going to do that. Or start shouting like Mitch Fonville. And nobody could shout like Mitch. Mitch was a big old fella, but Buddy, when he started shouting like he was shouting on air, walking on air, I said, I'm too bad to do that. And he would shout forward. Somehow the devil got a hold of me. I started shouting backwards, and I backed myself right on out the back door. Lost and on my way to hell. Got baptized once or twice. Went down a dry center, came up a wet center, just as lost as I could be. Lost it on my way to hell. Didn't even know it. Several times I could have died out there messing around, going places, doing things I should not have been doing. I remember one time I was driving, having a girl in the car in my red Mustang with white leather seats, half drunk, and a shower came right quick like, and my car did something I didn't know what they called it at the time. I found out later it hydroplaned. I was riding on water and going for a transformer, going to the beach. Came about this close, somehow that thing stopped. If I had ran into that thing, I would have died. And she would have died too. And guess what? I would have gone straight to hell. Didn't even know I was lost. And I would have been up there talking to God, trying to talk to God or somebody. Look here now, I got baptized twice. I was on the mourner's bench. I shouted. And I took the chair. What else you want me to do? Just ignorant. And that's how so many people are. That's why I preach the gospel every day. That's why at the end of this message, I'm going to give you an invitation to trust Christ as Savior. That's why I'm going to take my time and explain it to you. Most pastors are not going to do that. That's not their calling. My calling is as an evangelist. I am very, very concerned about you understanding the gospel. Why? Because I was in church, in religion, multiple and membership in multiple churches, and lost and on my way to hell. And I believe there are many people like that today. Come. Jesus said, just come. And so this invitation, beloved, is open to those who are exhausted, like I was, and I was confused. Truly lost. Do you know that there are many people in church who are truly lost because they have never been born again? And they're trying to go through the motions and sway the right way and clap hands the right way and everything else. And they're lost, and there's nobody there to tell them how to be saved. And none of the sermons are about that at all. There's never an invitation to get saved in many of our churches today. Exhausted and burdened down. Confused. Tired, weary. That is exactly how the people felt under the yoke of Pharisaical legalism. The second word is take. This is a deeper experience. When we come to Christ by faith, He gives us rest. When we take His yoke and learn of Him, we find rest, that deeper rest of surrender and obedience. And I cannot emphasize with you enough about the word surrender and obedience. And let me help you real quick. If you become truly born again, if you truly come to Jesus and get saved, it may be a while, but one day you're going to understand those words surrender, and you're going to understand that word obedience. And then your yoke really becomes easy and your burden really becomes light. The first is peace with God. The second is the peace of God, to take a yoke in that day meant to become a disciple. When we submit to Christ, we are yoked to Him. Not anybody else, but to Him, and we should be loyal to Him. The word easy means well-fitting. And it also means that you're not going to be carrying the load. Jesus will. He had, now you will have a load, but it's not going to be as big as his. He has just the yoke that is tailor-made for our lives and needs. Tailor-made for you and tailor-made for me. Your yoke is not going to be my yoke. My yoke is not going to be yours. But it will. All yokes will be hooked up to Jesus if you trust Christ as Savior. And that's a beautiful thing. And I'm here to tell you that God will give you, if you submit to Him and you surrender to Him and you obey Him, God will give you a life. Jesus Christ will give you a life, a mission, a purpose that will blow your mind. He actually changes you once He saves you, and then your whole life changes. I cannot explain it to you, just come. The burden of doing His will is not a heavy one. It is not grievous, as the Bible says. Then the third word is learn. The first two commands represent a crisis as we come and yield to Christ. Have you done that? You've got to come first, and then you need to surrender. You need to yield. You need to humble yourself. That is what's wrong with some of you so-called Christians right now. You came, but you have not surrendered. You're still full of yourself and pride and stubbornness and arrogancy and haughtiness. And see, this is what Jesus was talking about in this passage. While He was thanking God that the so-called prudent and educated, the intellectual crowd, things have been hidden to them and open to the humble, the meek. Learn of me. The first two commands represent a crisis as we come and yield to Christ. But this step is into a process. As we learn more about Him, we find a deeper peace because we trust Him more. The more you learn about, listen to me very carefully. I cannot encourage you enough to read your Bible through this year. The more you read your Bible, the more you will learn about Christ once you become born again. The more you, let me just tell you this though, you need to really understand this. The more, it's not just about reading the Bible. I know people who read the Bible all the time and they're lost. They have never come to Christ. Or they are saved and they're not growing. You know why? Because they don't apply the Bible. They don't obey the Bible. There's a famous hymn in the hymn book. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Dr. John McNeil taught me that hymn many, many years ago. So you need to understand that. You can read the Bible, but if you're not willing to obey the Bible, you won't grow and you won't learn as you should. And therefore, you can't grow deeper in peace and rest. You see, life is simplified and unified around the person of Jesus Christ. This invitation is for all, not just the people of Israel, but for all. Do you know Him as your Savior? St. Augustine said, O Lord, you have formed us for yourself, and our souls are restless until they find their rest in you. Have you found rest in Christ? Peace in Christ? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you believed on Him? If not, you can do so tonight. If you were to die today, where would you go? Heaven or hell? If you're not sure, allow me to show you how you can be saved tonight. How you can be born again. How you can come to Christ. Come to me, all ye who labor. Stop working. Stop trying to work your way to heaven. Stop trying to find your way. And come to me, and I will give you rest unto your souls. If you don't know Him, get to know Him now. Trust Him as your Savior. Come to Christ tonight. At the end of this gospel presentation, we're going to have a song that we're going to sing to wrap up this service, Come to Jesus. It's an old hymn. I don't know where it originated, but I know I heard it in the old black church. Come to Jesus. Now, if you are with us tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, come to Jesus tonight. Allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him. Come to Jesus tonight, so that your soul can be saved from the power of sin and from the punishment of sin, which is eternal hell fire. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You're going to die one day. I know you may not think so. You may not feel like it now, but I assure you, as sure as I am black and my last name is white, you're going to die. Why? Because of sin and your sinful nature. Our sinful nature. The fact that we choose to sin, we will die. The body will be put in a grave. Your soul will go to hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. But it will go to heaven if you have trusted Christ as Savior. But you would know that, I assure you. If you have met Christ, you will know that you met Him. I guarantee you. You may not know the exact date like I do, but you're going to know something about meeting Jesus. One of the first questions people ask you when they meet you as a couple and they want to get to know you, how did you all meet? Well, And you can just remember all the details and how she looked the day you met her and how fast you fell in love and how he looked and what he had on and how he smelled and everything else. You can remember the exact date and all that. Listen to me very carefully. If you met Jesus, you will remember it. I assure you. There's no way you can meet Jesus and not know it. There's no way. So thirdly, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now as I speak. Hell fire. Everlasting hell fire. Nobody is trying to scare you. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just stating facts from the Bible. You listen to me on everything else. Listen to this right here. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell, sad to say, than most preachers living today. That I'm sure shocks you, but it's true. Most preachers have not even preached on hell one time, or hellfire, or on the fact that hell is forever. But Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ pointed out that hell was so bad. Here's what he said in Matthew 18:8: Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut it off. Cut them off. Cut your feet off. Cut your hands off if it leads you to sin against me. And cast them from thee. Put yourself in a wheelchair. Because you'll be better off rolling into heaven in a wheelchair than walking into hell. He didn't say it quite like that, but you get the point. But here's exactly what he said. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Everlasting fire. We have a group running around this world telling a lie and saying that hell is the grave. We translate hell as the grave. And here's what I say to these liars, the Jehovah's Witness. I don't care what you translate or how you translate the word hell. I'm concerned about that word fire beside it. Okay, how you translate that? Fire is fire and fire burns forever and ever, the Bible says. Also, beloved, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft, voodoo, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Did you see yourself in that passage? Let me help you just a little bit. Here are the people going to hell. You might be in this number. The fearful people are too afraid to get saved because they're worried about what mom and them might think. Worried about what their friends might think. Peer pressure. The unbelieving, the so-called atheists and agnostics who proudly walk around saying they don't believe in God, or they doubt that God exists. They say stupid things like God is dead. And here we are walking on a ball, hanging on nothing, with our little bitty selves talking about there's no God. The Bible says people who say there's no God, they are fools. I didn't say it, God said it. And the abominable, who are they? The abominable are people who sin beyond the pale. Their sin is so bad that sinners can't stand it and can't stand them for doing it. The abominable, those who practice incest, those who are child molesters, child pornographers, grown men and women interested in having sex with, trying to have sex with children, mothers and fathers lusting after their children. You see, preacher, that's very disturbing. Why would you mention something like that? Because you're doing it. Let's read your newspaper. Children lusting after their parents, including step-parents and step-children, in this mixed up world in society, raping their own daughters, granddaughters, grandchildren. And then the homosexuals and the lesbians sinning beyond the pale. Not sinning what some would say is more normal. People can get their heads around and understand it. But a man with a man. And by the way, a man mixed up by the devil wanted to have the transition from man to woman. Now he's suing somebody in England because he made the transition to a woman, and he's mad because the people gave him the transition so fast. Now he wants to be transitioned back into a man. That is wicked as hell, people. It's a slap in God's face, and it is an attempt by the devil and human beings to turn God's world upside down, because God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Oh, preacher, you ought not to say that. Preacher, why would you bring up something so ugly in the church? Because you're doing it in the church. And you're going to hell. I told somebody the other day, in hell is enlarging itself for you. Because right now, hell does not have any room for you. But if you choose to repent, you choose not to repent of your sins and trust Christ as Savior, hell will expand itself for you. And murderers. Oh, we see, some of y'all are, okay, that's more normal. Murdering is more normal. You can handle that. All of it is wicked as hell. And all people who do it and don't repent and don't trust Christ as Savior are going to hell. And we need every pastor and every preacher in America telling people that. And we'll stop some of this mess that's going on. That man had heard a preacher on fire for God. He probably would have never wasted his money and time trying to become a woman. Murderers and whoremongers. These are the heterosexual sinners who commit adultery and fornication. Thank God they are not messing with their own children and their own blood. Thank God they're not messing with little children. Thank God they're not trying to get with a man, men with men and women with women. But they're still going to hell. For what they're doing is just as wicked. Heterosexuals committing adultery and fornication. And sorcerers practicing witchcraft and voodoo. You say, preacher, I tell you what, you'll never preach in my church. Thank you very much. Because I would have the backslide, in the words of Vance Havner, I would have the backslide to get into fellowship. In most churches today. That's right. Vance Havner said it about 50 plus years ago. I'm saying it today because it is worse to join some churches today, most churches today. You would have to backslide to get into fellowship with the people and with the pastor. And idolaters, people who put anything or anybody before God. Some of you worship your children. God didn't give you the children to worship them. Oh, my little Johnny, my little Sally, look at how sweet they are. And they threw a train at my head and almost killed me and almost caused me to be blind. But look how sweet. Are you kidding me? I would have turned that child upside down and whipped his tail. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, dear friend, that is the bad news. Hell is the bad news. But here's the good news. You can trust Christ as Savior and quit your sin. See, sin is what, and not trusting Christ as Savior is what gets you to go to, gets you in hell. So trust Christ as Savior and repent of your sins. And Jesus will help you repent of your sins. Here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you and for me, so that we can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him, call on his name and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will save you. Just come, Jesus said. Just come. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved from the lake of fire. Saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God and to be with Jesus. So if you're willing to believe on Christ, if you are willing to believe in Jesus Christ tonight, that he died for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day, I'm willing to lead you in prayer, calling on the Lord to save you. It is called the Sinner's Prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. And I assure you, based upon the word of God, God will hear your prayer and save you. For God is in the soul-saving business. That's his main concern, is to get you saved. Let's pray. Repeat after me phrase by phrase, meaning it from your heart, believing it in your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have lusted after people and things before. I've coveted after people and things before in my heart. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I have taken your holy name in vain, and many other sins that I have committed in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in my heart that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil ways and my evil life. And help me to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Allow me to say congratulations to you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you received Christ into your heart as your Savior tonight, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. We have thousands upon thousands of folk on our prayer list that we have prayed faithfully for, and we'll pray for you as well. In fact, outside of sharing the gospel and preaching the gospel, I believe, and in ministering the word, I believe that our greatest ministry right up there with that is prayer. Praying for others. And we thank God for the privilege to pray for others. And so God loves you, dear friend. We love you. And may God bless you real good.
I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why.